Good morning, friends. Welcome to our sixth session. It's hard to believe that we're on our sixth session of the series, Power That Makes Possible. And I truly believe, I am fully persuaded that this is a word for us in this season as we're talking about power that makes possible. So let me encourage you today, because we're about to embark on two sessions, today's and next week, where we're going to begin to talk about how we get in a position to allow that power to flow more freely through us. I think you're going to see we're going to get revelation, which is going to convince us of how that power can flow through us. And it's just going to take, for me, it's been some adjustment, a slight adjustment in my thinking. Really, it's additional revelation that I have called upon, that the Lord has given me, and that I have called upon. So to that end, since I think these are so important, if you have not subscribed to our notes, please do so, because there's some material in today's you don't want to miss. You can do that by using Facebook messaging to either Minton Williams Ministries page on Facebook, or you can send a private message to Patricia Dudley on Facebook, and either way, we'll get that to you. If you're not using Facebook, then you're hearing on our website, then you can just send a request to info@mintonwilliams.com, and we'll be happy to get you on this. We won't send you a lot of other things at all, but you need to be able to go back through these sessions, because I believe they are anointed. And let me just say, and I'm going to repeat this, I'm getting way ahead of myself, you too are anointed. In fact, say that with me. I am anointed by the Holy Spirit of power. He dwells in me. The power of God dwells in me. And with that declaration, let's just get started in this. Today we're going to be talking about faith to receive that power. But last week we talked about let his power flow. And what I want you to see is that we're talking about, Lord, let your power flow in me. As we looked at last week, how it flows in other men, how it has flowed according to Scripture, which is our guideline, that's our truth that we measure against. Now, with study, we've been founded or grounded on the Scripture that really says, is there anything impossible for the Lord? The Lord actually spoke those words to Abraham. And what do we know? Jeremiah told us directly, Lord God, there's nothing that's impossible with you. We've also been based on 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. Where we see that it's not just about wisdom, but it's about words of wisdom that are affirmed by the power. And then it goes on in 5 to say that so our faith may be based on the power of God. Now, we're not trying to put power above God. You can't separate them. But we need to understand that when we believe God, we are believing in the power that separates him from that love that through which our faith operates. So we want to have faith in the power of God. Now, we looked in last week's session at a discourse in Luke 12, where they're talking about don't worry about things, but he encourages you and I to do what? Seek the kingdom, aim for that kingdom. And he goes on to say that it's the Lord's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so we ask the question, does that exclude power or does it include it? Is it for all men or is it just for a selected few? And what did we see? It is for everyone. We even saw that affirmed in 1 Corinthians 12, the chapter on where it starts out about talking about spiritual gifts. But I told you, gifts was inserted, so it's really talking about the spiritual things, things of the kingdom, the unseen realm, which we know, which we believe through faith, is as real, if not more real, than this temporal world that we live in. We looked at several verses, but in 6 and 7, we saw two things. That his power works in and through men to manifest, and it also said it's for all of us. So it's not just for a select few. It's not just for pastors. It's not for people who you think have a special anointing. They may have a unique anointing on their lives, but it's for all of us. And that is a revelation that we need to grab a hold to. That he lives on the inside of us, the fullness of the Spirit. We don't get a partial. We don't get a junior. We have the fullness of the Spirit, and the Spirit does not leave and come to dwell within us without the fullness of what? Of his power. We also saw as we looked through the gifts that each of the gifts, all nine, require power to be exerted. For you and I to get revelation requires an anointing from the Lord, a power exerted to take from the supernatural realm and bring it to this physical realm, to give us a word of knowledge, to allow us to speak in tongues. That all requires power. But we also saw that there were what? Three power gifts. Gifts of faith, effective workings of miracles, and gifts, plural, of healings, plural. And each of those require power. And it's manifested how? In us and through us. And I know you say, how many times are you going to say that? Until we all get it. Because that's what's key about today. In verse 31 that we looked at said, for us to earnestly declare. Some translations say the greater gifts. Some say the best gifts. But what do we know? That word for greater or best is a word which comes from the word kratos, which, as you may remember, is a word for strength. So it's almost as if he's saying, get the strongest gifts. Now, what is the strongest gift? It's the one you need for the moment. It's one of those nine that is just for that moment. And it also includes, don't look at those three power gifts as something that just goes to a few. He wills to do it through everyone. We talked last week about how it's not about me, but it's all about Jesus. And I want you to think about John 14. I really want to hit this one hard this morning in our review because it is so key. This is really the epitome of all the in him scriptures that we go study in the epistles. In verse 10, Jesus is saying, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? Now, do you get the import of that? So I would say for you and I, don't we believe that Jesus in the Holy Spirit, person of the Holy Spirit, which is also includes the Father, is in me and that we are in him? This will allow us to begin to act and think like Jesus did. Now, why is this so important? Jesus goes on in this verse to talk about it's not me, but it's the Father that does the works. The one dwelling in him, where that power already is. Do you think that Jesus felt pressure when he would hear from the Lord and then he would speak those words out? Do you think he said, all right, God, when are you going to do this? You need to hurry. They're getting... No. He had such trust, such confidence that when he heard and spoke, he knew what was going to happen. And saints, that's the essence of what we're talking about this week and next week. But the hearing part is so, so important. And then when he tells us two verses later in verse 12 that the same and greater we're going to be doing, then what did we know? We too don't have to feel that pressure. We know we can't do it. I know I can't heal someone of my flesh. But I can lay hands. I can speak words. I can give words of wisdom. I can allow gifts of the power to flow through me. And others receive from that. It flowed through the disciples. We saw that in Luke 9, that he gave them authority and power and then sent them out. And they were going amongst the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. In Luke 10, the 70 were sent. And Jesus sent them out. But he sent them out because what did he say? The harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. And is the same not true today? In our prayer time last night, we spent a lot of time praying for people who are lost, praying for deliverance for believers in Afghanistan, but also praying for those who were holding them captive, that they would have Paul-type experiences, visions, dreams, that the testimony of the believers would be like the soldier at the foot of the cross of Jesus when he said, truly, this is the Son of God. And so the same situation that they were sent out in is exactly where we are today. And what did they do? In verse 9, it says, he told them to heal those who were sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. So there again, declaring the gospel, the good news of Jesus, proclaiming it. That's a good word that we'll see it today. And then allowing the power to flow through them. And it wasn't just the 12 disciples, as we like to think, and as so many taught, that it passed away after them. It was also recorded throughout the book of Acts. Now, it did talk about the disciples at Acts, and here's what it says. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place. Whose power? Same as with Jesus. It's not me that does the work, but the Lord. Through my hands, and I'm going to add through my mouth, the words that I speak. We saw in Acts 15 that when they were talking about how the word of God and the Spirit had fallen on the Gentiles, that God had worked through them many miracles and wonders. Who worked? God did. How did he do it? Through men. We saw in Acts 19 that God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. So what did we see? That we don't, by our own power, work. It's the power of God, and he does the works through the hands of men. And I will go ahead and say through the words of men, through men walking on what he tells them to, his power flowing to us. We should be the same way as we saw in these three examples in Acts. We saw Jesus tell us that it was for all men in John 7 when he was talking about the Spirit at the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths or Sukkot, however you want to say it. And they were beginning to do the procession for the water libation and the oil to be poured on the altar, the wine, excuse me. And what did Jesus say? Here in verse 38 of John 7, he says, he that believes on me, just as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, the Spirit wants to not only just dwell in us, but be able to flow out of us and through us with power, as that water indicates. So today, because we are anointed, and you're going to see that's important in everything we're going to be talking about today, not just the miracles flowing through us, but even in hearing the word, what we're going to see today is how we can see our faith to receive his power that's already there. So we're talking about taking something that he's already placed inside us. Now, I want to start this. Go to Mark, the 6th chapter. I want to start this by reviewing what happens when there's not faith, when there is unbelief. And I told you earlier, in fact, the very first session, I told you many of the scriptures we're going to look at in sessions 1 and 2, we're going to come back to. And so you're going to encounter some of that today. Don't go into this with "I already know it." Because even as I was putting words to paper, or typing them in, so to speak, I began to see other things. Even this morning, as I was reviewing before this recording, I saw some things that I had not seen in these verses. So that will be the same to you. As you hear, not just my voice, but as you listen to the Holy Spirit so he can reveal to you. So stay hooked in with us this week and next week. Mark 6, first verse. Jesus went out from there. Now, where he's talking about is where he was when he had two major healings occur, and we're actually going to talk about one of those in chapter 5. He came out from there, and he came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And verse 2 says, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach. Do you reckon Jesus was anointed to teach? I believe it was some of the best teaching that they ever heard. You ever wondered what he taught? Well, I'm just going to tell you, I believe he was teaching Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And look at how this really starts. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So we know that's talking about soulish, and we know it's talking about physical as well. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of Jubilee. And so I'm just going to boldly say to you today, I believe what I am teaching today is coming forth with an anointing, because he has anointed me, and the words that we are teaching today, I know beyond a shadow of doubt, they are anointed. So let's continue on in verse 2. He began to teach in the synagogue. And some say, as was his custom. So we know that he routinely went. There is something that we need to gain about that. We cannot always forsake the assembly, particularly in this time. Now, I know that there are circumstances sometimes which keep us from it, particularly as we get older, we may not be able to venture out as much as we want to. No condemnation, but we can always find a way to feed our word, to feed the word into our hearts. And we can continue to fellowship with each other. We've got a lot of tools. We fellowship with our family through FaceTime a lot. And so sometime if you feel like you just need to look at a person, I don't mind doing that. Face-to-face encourage you, not just over a phone. So take advantage of what we have been given, tools that the devil is using against the church. Let's use them for the benefit of the Lord, for people. And so he's teaching all this, and his listeners were astonished. Now, you know they'd been hearing about all he had been doing, that he was teaching and that all the miracles were coming. So this just astonished them because they knew who he was. And they said, where did this man? Now, that ought to be a warning. They didn't say, where did Jesus? Where did this man? So what are they doing? They're beginning to make him in their own eyes common. Where did this man, whom we know, and what is this wisdom that's been given to him that such miracles are performed? How? By his hand. So we see even Jesus, the Lord, Father, God, worked the miracles through the hands of Jesus. But then verse 3, and this really picks up on this concept of mere men, which we are not. You remember scripture tells us that. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And then it says they took offense with him. So what are they doing? They are making him to be common. May I say it this way? They are making him to be as if he has no anointing. Even though he stood up and said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Now, in this, the word says they took offense. Now, that's a really key thing because you're going to see that taking offense can lead to hindrance of the power. But the word there for taking offense, for offense, is the word scandalizo in the Hebrew. And this word is similar to one we have in English, which is what? A scandal. So I don't want you to think of just being offended by somebody as some minor thing. It's a big deal. It is just more than not getting offended. It can become a big scandal and a big hindrance. So what is one thing we see then? Because what do we tend to do? Those of us in a congregation may begin to see our pastor as, well, I know them. They've been here for X number of years. That's just a pastor, a teacher. I may be looking through you at the camera and thinking of all of you who I know join us each week. And let me just say, we are about 4 to 5 times more than we were of people joining in when we were meeting in person. So the reach has been phenomenal. But I don't ever want to think of you as a common person. Yet we say, well, that's human nature. No, it's not. It's the devil talking to us. And what is he doing? He's trying to divide. He's trying to break the unity. And we need to understand it's through that unity, just as we saw last week, where the apostles were doing signs and wonders in the portico of Solomon, and they were in great unity. He's trying to separate us in every way he can. And so then we go on to verse 4, and Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household. And having come back to Macon, I can understand that a little bit. Most of you who are viewing are not people who I grew up with. And yet I'm friends with most of them on Facebook. And I'm sure many just say, well, I know him. I know how he really was. But what do we all know? When we've been born from above, we've been changed into a different person. And then verse 5 said, and he could do, didn't say he didn't want to. He could not do any miracles. Now, the word there in King James is mighty works. In other words, that no works of power, no dunamis power was flowing except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and he healed them. And then verse 6 is really interesting to me. And he wondered, New American Standard says, at their unbelief. Now, I want to just amplify that part just a minute. Because Amplified Bible, no pun intended, reads this way, and he marveled. In other words, it just wasn't, well, what do they think they're doing? He was really taken back by it because of their unbelief. And then it amplifies by saying their lack of faith in him. And I'm going to stop here and add, not only in him, but in the words he was speaking. That's why in John 14, he said, if you don't believe me for my words, believe me for what? The works that I do, the works that the Father does through me. And then in the Passion Translation, it says he was amazed because of their unbelief. He was amazed, at the depth of their unbelief. And so this is really being taken aback. Now, why did this bother him so much? Because he knew that it was going to do what? Limit the flow of the power to them. And it was his desire not just to be to them, but what? Through them. The same holds true with you and I today. But I want you to go back and look at the next phrase in verse 6. My Bible says, and he was going around teaching in the villages. Amplified says, and he went about among the surrounding village and continued to teach. I want you to see, and this is the way I'm learning to be, that if someone rejects what I am teaching, I cannot be moved by that. It may hurt my spirit. I may hurt for them. I may pray for them, but it will not slow me down because I know what the Lord has given me to share with people. Now, unbelief. Think about Jesus when he ministered to people. How often did he take them outside the city? How often did he say to them, don't go back in there? Why? And you're going to see that unbelief, lack of faith, will also hinder people as they stand. You're going to see that later on in this session. So we don't want any unbelief hindering the flow of his power to us. In fact, what we're really saying is if there is no faith, there's nothing to conduct that power to take us back as we talked last week in letting the power flow. Now look back in the 5th chapter. Now, as I put this together, I just perceive that there were a number of people who are going to be watching today who are wholeheartedly seeking a healing. And let me just say to you, you can receive today that healing. This scripture we're about to read is going to build your faith. And I believe there are going to be words spoken today, and you'll understand this better in a few minutes, that will be so implanted in your heart, it will change your knowing such that you can just reach out and take that healing that already dwells where? It dwells in you. So let's start in verse 25, and this is just after Jairus has come out and asked Jesus to go with him because his daughter is sick. In verse 25, and a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. Now, I want to stop there. A hemorrhage for 12 years. If you think about that, what condition would she have been in? Very, very weak. Very, maybe frustrated. And I think that's a good word because I think frustration indicates a lack of hope, which she probably had as well. In other words, she's struggling. We know she was struggling because the next verse says, and she had endured or suffered much at the hands of many physicians. Now, that word suffered is the same word that is used describing Jesus on the cross. So we know it's not just a little bit of issue. It's a major issue for her. And she had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but had rather grown worse. Now, in that itself is exactly what Satan tries to do. He attacks our physical body. He attacks our finances so that what? So that our soulish realm becomes so despondent that we say, I just can't get it. I just can't receive. And we find ourselves down and out and then begin to speak words that don't contain faith, that don't contain the power of God. That in a nutshell is what he does to you and I even today. And so she wasn't helped at all, but rather had grown worse. And I know some of you today are saying the same thing. I've done everything I do. It seems like the more I try to confess the word, the more I hurt, the more this or the more that. And so I want you to see, you're not alone. This lady felt the same way. And then verse 27. And we're going to camp on this verse a minute, because this is the key to things changing in her life. And I'm just going to read the first four words in my Bible. After hearing about Jesus. And I'm pausing for effect. After hearing about Jesus. Now let me tell you what she did right after. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him because she heard he was going to be there and touched his cloak. But let's focus on after hearing about Jesus. I've already described to you what condition I believe she was in. I trust you agree with that. Prior to hearing about Jesus. After hearing about. Now, one translation says after hearing of Jesus. And that's the word about and of are ones we're going to dig into just a minute. So she heard people's talking about Jesus. Now, you can imagine what she heard. Everybody gets healed. He does this. He does that. He says this. He says that. But after hearing of him, what happened? Because I'm going to tell you, something changed. And we're going to talk about that. Now, she heard about Jesus. As I was putting this down last week on typing it in on my computer, the Lord said, look up that word about or of, as the King James says. And so I did. And the Hebrew word is peri, and it literally means the word through. So here it's saying she heard about, she heard through Jesus. She heard through the words spoken about Jesus. Now, it also means she heard with respect to. The word can mean that. But this word peri comes actually from a word that I have used in some other teachings about how the devil wants to pierce us. And that word literally means to pierce, which this word comes from. It also means through. So it's like she heard a piercing word of Jesus. Now, what does that sound like? Well, to me, it doesn't sound like it's just talking about she heard with what? These flaps on the side of her head. She heard, and I'm going to say she saw in her spirit something different in her inner being. And saints, that's what caused the change that we see in this woman. You know, when I saw this word peri or peri, P-E-R-I, I immediately thought of the word periscope. And what is a periscope? You are able to see through a periscope. Think of a submarine down under the ocean. You're able, under the sea, a sailor can raise the periscope. You've seen movies. Periscope up, and they raise it, and then they begin to look all around. They are able to see in a dimension that they are not in, as the sight is reflected in these mirrors. So, what has really happened? You are seeing into a place with a periscope that you could not see. I've seen pictures of people using a simple periscope to peer over a wall. You're seeing, how about if I say this, into a realm that you cannot see with your physical eyes by themselves. How is she doing that? She's hearing about Jesus. My. So what's happening? What do we say when we hear a verse for the 200th or 300th time and the light of that verse shines brightly in us? Not in our ears, but in our heart. We say, oh, I see that. So I want you to begin to see that hearing the good news of about Jesus is going to allow you to see and get revelation in the spirit realm. Now, we're going to talk more about that. Just a very few moments. So it's as if this pierced her inner being. How about if I say it this way? She came alive inside. We might say that she heard from God. She saw revelation of her covenant. She went from no strength and no hope to hearing about, hearing through Jesus. And it's as if she saw in that other realm that she didn't really know about, that we know more than she did now. And she saw the Word of God, and it became real to her. And what did it do when it became real to her? It moved her to act, and it changed her whole outlook. She went from no hope, no strength, to all of a sudden hope and strength. How do you know that, Minton? Well, look at what she did. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him. Now, can you imagine the effort it took for her? It was illegal, according to her law, for her to do this. Yet she was so confident, she worked her way up through those thousands of people, touched him. 28 says, for she thought. Now, my Bible has in the comments on the side, for she was saying. I think some translations actually say, for she was saying to herself, if I just touch his garment, I shall be well. I shall be sozoed. Passion Translation says, for she kept saying to herself, if I could only touch his clothes, and then listen to this phrase, I know I will be healed. No ifs there. I know. What had happened? That word had brought not only hope that caused her to get up and act, but she knew when she touched, she would receive. She had faith that was convinced. And how did that faith come? After hearing, and after that word of about Jesus pierced her, not just with her ears, but went inside deep to her. And then in verses 29 and 30, immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt. What did she feel? The power at work in her. In her body was healed of her affliction. And Jesus knew it also. And that's when he turned around and said, who touched me? Now, in the next three verses, in 31 through 33, he's saying, who touched me? The disciples saying, you got to be kidding. The woman saying, it was me, it was me. And he looked around then to see the woman. And look what he said to her. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say, my great power has made you whole. He said, your faith. What did that faith do? It allowed the power to flow from inside Jesus, where the Father dwelt, where that power resided. And the Father let the power flow through the faith that she had through that conductor, and it healed her. And then he says to her at the very end, go in peace and be healed of your afflictions. Now, we're going to come back to that in a couple of weeks, because again, I think this is important for her to maintain her healing. Now, I want you to look at another one quickly. We look at John 4. And I'm probably taking longer than I intended in some of this, but that's okay. In John 4, this is the account of the nobleman coming to Jesus. And so in verse 46, let's begin there. Jesus comes to Cana of Galilee, where water had been made wine. We're going to look at that next week. There is much, much more for us to get from that account, much more revelation. And there was a certain royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him, and he was requesting Jesus to come down and heal his son, for he's at the point of death. So this man is coming. Now, when it says requesting, they would have been better to say he was begging. Profusely begging is really what that word literally means. And he was begging for him to do what? To come down. So he had a preconceived notion of how this was going to happen. That you're going to see next week is truly critical for us to not work in our own preconceived ideas, but to listen to the Lord. And Jesus then berated. He talked down and he corrected, really is the best word. Berate is not a good word. He corrected people and said, unless you see signs and wonders, and in other words, affirming miracles to what I said, you don't believe my words. And the guy in verse 49 says again, sir, come down. Again, begging, but do it my way. In verse 50, Jesus says to him, go your way, your son lives. This will make a lot more faith for you. And you're going to see how he got into faith in just a moment. Look at what the next sentence says. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. We may get back to this one at a later date. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. Now, you know the rest of the story. His son was healed, and he finds out it was at the very same hour. But the man believed. He got a word from Jesus that changed him on the inside, everything he was thinking. But more than everything he was thinking, he now what? Believed it. And he acted upon it. And the power flowed. In other words, he had faith in the word that Jesus spoke. And when he acted on it, power flowed and his son was healed. So I want to talk for a few moments about faith. Now don't say, oh no, we're going back to that again. Yes, we are. We're going to talk about faith as a noun or believed, believe as the verb. So in Hebrews 1, it says in the New King James, now faith is, Hebrews 11, 1. I went to the verse without the chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So might I say, faith is the expectation that you believe is coming. Faith is the joyful, confident expectation that you believe is coming. Faith is the substance of what you hope for, what you believe is coming. And then it says it's the evidence of things you don't see. So faith, again, is it's through faith, a periscope kind of word, looking into that other realm. Faith allows us to see in that other realm and bring what's there to this realm today. Now, the word substance there is the word hypostasis in the Greek, or hypostasis. And it's two words. It really means to set under and to stand on that which is set under. That's a powerful word. And in the Amplified, let me just read what it says. Now faith is. So faith is now, hope is future. But don't you see one is greater or less than the other? They are so intertwined, hand in glove type thing. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction that their reality, in other words, faith perceiving as real fact what is not yet revealed to the senses. And that faith is what? It's a now thing. So we see that faith is something that we can stand on and have confidence in. Passion says it this way. Faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. I would say the things we are believing for. It is all the evidence that is required to prove what is still unseen. It almost sounds then like faith is what? That which conducts the power. So the power of God, we're showing here, I believe, again, just reaffirming, flows to faith and through faith. The Lord's provided, and we need to be receiving. Now let me pause a minute. I want to urge you, if you go to someone for prayer, that is not the time to stand there and confess things. That is not the time for you to pray as well. It's the time for you to what? Plug in to that person, to the anointing on that person. And you shouldn't be going to them to pray unless you believe there's an anointing. You're just not going hope something sticks. You're going because you believe there is an anointing. And I can tell you, as the one who people have come to, how you come to me makes a difference in how much the power flows. So what I'm saying is that's not time for you to go and try to make things happen yourself. Just plug into the power and let it flow. Let it take it and receive it. Just kind of define faith. And now I want to ask the question, how does faith come? And as I close my eyes here, ahead of when you're listening to this, I can already hear you saying, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you said about that fast because we know it. Let me say that differently. We've memorized it. We know what that scripture says. So let's go to Romans 10 and verse 17. And I want to read it, and then we'll read a few other verses, and then we're going to come back to this verse and break it down because it is essential for us to understand what we're about to cover. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, there's no doubt that when we read here the Word of God, that the Word of God is powerful. We know that through creation. God spoke and things happened. But there's more to this verse because in my Bible, It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, which is different, and it has a different perspective that we're going to understand. But before we go through it, I want to back all the way up to verse 13 and read 13, 14, and talk about 15 and 16. 13 says, whoever or whosoever, meaning anyone, will call upon the name of the Lord, and I'm going to add in faith, will be saved. And then there are three questions asked in verse 14. The first question, it says, how then shall they call upon him? And again, I'm assuming in faith, in whom they have not believed. So that's a question. And what's the answer to that? They can't. They can't call upon someone in faith when they haven't been able to hear about him and when they haven't believed in him. Second, then, it asks, and how shall they believe in whom they had not heard? So those two are very directly related. If they haven't heard about him, then they what? Can't believe in him. So that's the answer to the first two questions. And then it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, I want you to notice it didn't say right now, how can they hear without a Bible? Now, no, I'm not saying throw your Bible away. We just need to have preachers. You're going to see that clearly. But remember the way they were in these days. No New Testament, obviously. The Old Testaments were in scrolls in the synagogue. They weren't available to everybody, and they didn't need to be because very few in those days could read. So that's why it's saying, how can they hear without a preacher? In other words, without it what? Being proclaimed. Now, verse 15 then says, and how shall they preach unless they're sent? Now, preach here literally means to proclaim, and it's like a town crier. The word in the Greek means to herald, like a king would send out to issue a decree, and he would have a crier go out who would speak the decree so that everybody could hear. And I'm going to say, that's what I'm doing today, because I believe I have an anointing on me to teach this. Now, there are some other things I believe the Lord has anointed me to do, and I'm endeavoring to do those as well, but teaching is one of the primary things. And I'm not being conceited in saying that. I'm just being bold and tell you what I believe the Lord has commanded me to do. And obviously, many of you must believe that as well because you're joining us now. These things have meant something to you, these times. And so 16 then continues by saying how beautiful, 15, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring glad tidings of good things. And then it quotes Isaiah saying, Lord, who has believed our report? And that leads up to verse 17. So back to 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And I'm going to go ahead and say, or the word anointed. Now I want to look at three phrases, three words. The first one is hearing. The word for hearing here is akoe, A-K-O-E. And it literally means hearing, or the act, the sense of hearing, or the thing heard. So the thing heard could have been the word of God. It also carries a connotation of giving attention to. So it's not just somebody's talking and you're daydreaming, but you're what? You're tuned in and listening. And you're tuned in and listening because you desire more than just to hear some words. This phrase, giving audience to, again, means much more. And that's why I think it means like when I encourage you to have an open heart to receive the word that you're expecting from God. Can I just remind you of Proverbs 4:20 through 23? Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That's a special word there. That's not saying put them in your mind and just remember it. For they are life. Here's that life coming again by the word, like we saw from the lady with the issue of blood when she heard from Jesus. And it's also health, which we saw with her as well. Concludes by saying, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, this is the same word here that we saw when it says, and the woman heard about Jesus, And so again, what I believe this verse is saying is that when we listen with an open heart, we will get revelation. Faith will come when we hear, and when we hear the word anointed. But it takes you listening in faith. But that's okay. The Lord has given you faith to do that. And he's given you an anointing, as you're going to see in a minute, to hear. The second word that I want to talk about is the word, gets hard to say, is the word that is used, heard the word. Now, there's two words that are used talking about the word of God. Logos, L-O-G-O-S, which is talking generally about the written word, but can be spoken also. And then this word, rhema. This is in the Greek, the word rhema, which literally means a spoken word. So it's talking about the spoken word of God. Now, I'm going to read this next part to you versus trying to give you my own perspective, because I could say it no better than Brother Rick Renner does. And I have a book that he just expounds on a number of words. It's excellent. This is one of them. Of rhema, he says this: it is something that is spoken clearly and vividly. Now, I want you to think about times where you've heard from the Lord when you've been reading or when you've heard someone teaching, and you've heard it clearly and vividly, in unmistakable terms and in undeniable language. In the New Testament, the word rhema carries the idea of a quickened word. Now, what does the word quick use? When the word of God is quick, it means what? It's alive. The Spirit will quicken your mortal body. He will make alive your mortal body. First fruits of healing. So that word quicken literally could mean it produces life. Now, let me read you more from Rick, because this really just cements and gives us an idea of, I think you'll be able to see and recognize how you feel when you hear a word or when you hear a rhema. He says, here's an example of a rhema, or a quickened word. You're praying about a situation when suddenly a Bible verse rises up from within your heart. In that moment, you know that God has supernaturally made you aware of a verse that you can stand on and claim for your situation. When this happens, and these are not in your notes, because I'm not at liberty just to copy because of copyright. So if you need to write some of this down, then just back it up and listen to it again. When this happens, it's as if the Holy Spirit has put what? A sword in your hand, a spiritual dagger that you can insert into the heart of the enemy to bring about his defeat. Now, we're going to talk about this sword as we talk about this next word. So there is hearing. Here is the word rhema, what we've heard. You see how it brings life. Now, where is it bringing life? Is it bringing life to your physical body because you heard it with physical ears? No. It's bringing life inside you, just like the woman with the issue of blood that we saw. And then it says, the third phrase, and the last one is, of Christ. Or King James says, of God. The word is Christos. It means the anointed one and his anointing. So what this verse is saying is that we hear, and we're hearing the anointed word. That rhema spoken by God. Now, we're hearing, I might say, anointed preaching and teaching. But this is the key. What you're hearing is not just meant in talking to you. You're hearing the very voice of God speaking his word to you. And that's not happening just through your ears. The word is coming into your ears, but this hearing is occurring where? In your heart. And then what happens when you have that revelation, when you hear it in your heart and it becomes alive, it produces life in you? What do we say? We say, I see that. I see that. So you're hearing with the anointing. And yes, you are anointed. 1 John 2:20, go look at it. It says you have anointing and you know. Now, what do we know? We know when it's the word of truth. When we hear it with our physical ears, then we also hear it in our heart. We know with that anointing that is on that word, that is on the person maybe who's speaking it, that is on you as you're reading it in your Bible. It becomes alive inside you. It empowers you. The word of his power. And so what do we see? This word isn't just talking about hearing with these ears. It's talking about hearing and getting light, getting revelation, light being power. Yes, the words contain thoughts, but here his words also contain what? Power. And it's like that two-edged sword. Now let me tell you, that two-edged sword that we saw talking about here, that we've now heard, and that we just saw about the Word of God, it's the same word that is used in Ephesians 6, where it's talking about we've been given that word, which is the sword of the Spirit, to use. The sword, it didn't say the sword of my flesh, the sword of the Spirit. And how do we use it? By speaking it, by acting on it. A two-edged sword in their day was called a Makaria, and that's as close as I can get to, or Makahira. And it is a weapon that was intended to kill. It's about 20 inches long, very sharp, and had a curved hook on it. And you put it in, you turned it, and you pulled. And we are supposed to do that to steal our enemy. That is the word that is alive, and that's how we steal our enemy, by acting on the word that we hear. That's how Jesus, when he told the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. The vision I now have of that is the man took that word that Jesus said. He looked at his hand, which was destroyed by the enemy. And then he used that word to destroy the enemy, which had hindered his hand. And he extended it. Oh, do you see that? The word of God is, Hebrews 4:12 said, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So faith doesn't come by just hearing a man. You want to listen to anointed teaching. You don't want to just read your Bible speed read. Now, yes, you can do that, and the Lord might slow you down and point to a verse, but when you go into reading the word, go in what? Expecting. Use your faith. You expect something in that you're about to read this future to come alive and become a now moment, that rhema word for you. It comes by hearing the voice of God through the anointing, through that Spirit that dwells in you. Again, 1 John 2:20. So that's why I ask you, open your heart and expect to receive when you tune in to these teachings. I know if you're getting something, it's not me. It's about the one who dwells in you. And that brings to mind, the Lord, as I typed those words on my notes that I just spoke to you, the Lord brought to my mind John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, let's just stop there. We think, because we've memorized words, the Word of God, that those words are abiding in me. But what have we just seen? They're abiding in my mind and I can quote them. But this is a question I would ask. Do those words bring life to your inside, on your inside? Do they bring light and life on your inside such that you can stand up and speak them as a sword of the Spirit, or stand up and act upon them? Saints, that's the difference between presuming we know something and truly knowing it. Hearing the word anointing and God speaking to you is when it's abiding alive in you. And let me just say, we can't live on a single word from the Lord year after year. People say, well, I'm just believing on what the Bible says. That's a lot to believe. And I don't believe that any of us have all of that alive inside of us yet. So that's why we need sessions like this. That's why we need your daily bread. Say it another way. Remembering a verse, even quoting a verse, doesn't produce faith unless the anointing is at work in you, unless you're expecting to receive some. If you go in and open your word, open this sword of the Spirit, and begin to expect, as you read it, as you meditate it, as you speak it, faith will increase. Now, bluntly speaking, I think this is a major reason that I and many others have not received from the Lord, because we're operating, and we're going to get into this next week, give you some examples of it in Scripture, give you some examples of it in our day, how we might react today, how we have reacted today. At least I can hold my hand up. When we have it in our head, but not in our heart. Because where is this faith working? In our heart. And we want our head and our heart to be in agreement. So we set a foundation to talk about it. Everything that we talked about is encapsulated in the two accounts of Mark 5 and John 4. And next week, we're going to go back and see some examples where people believed, they had some faith, but they could not receive their healing. And you're going to see why that happens. And then you're going to see what we need to do so that we make sure it doesn't happen in us today. I want to go back and just say this one more time. Jesus thought and knew, and he spoke what he knew, that the Father, he dwelt in the Father, and the Father dwelt in him. That is so key. And that's the point we're going to get to next week, is to where we become convinced. Because how? How are we going to do that? Because we've heard from God himself. Father, take this word, quicken it in our hearts as we meditate it. As people go over and over it this week, just quicken this word so that it comes alive and that the power begins to flow. I pray for those who might have been looking for a healing today. And I just ask, as they go back and reread and study Mark 5 and John 4, that healing power flow. And I thank you for those who just grasp onto it even during the teaching, and healing power flow. And it's in the name of Jesus we give you praise and glory and honor for it. Be honored, Father, through your church and Jesus, as your word says. Now, if this ministered to you today, would you just share a testimony with us? Because if you're willing to testify of what it's done for you, then you can just really step up to the plate next week, knowing that the foundation has been set for you to stand on as we tune in to what the Word is saying to us next week, listening to not just me, but to the Holy Spirit. I love you guys. I bless you. And we'll look forward to spending time with you again next week.